Okay, Shalom Avoisai. Shah Yuchud HaMaise. Tell us all about Shah Yuchud HaMaise. Perek. Hey. We're in the middle of discussing the Sugi of the Yetzer Hara. The Sugi of the Yetzer Hara and all of his various attacks. So he's going to go through a few of the different areas that the Yetzer Hara might assault us. Now, I want to keep reiterating what we discussed the other time, that we're talking about the fundamentals of Emunah, and we don't see ourselves as people who are really reopening all the fundamentals of Emunah on a daily basis. Like when we think of the Yetzer Hara, we don't think in terms of becoming a precursor. So I just want to stress again that as far as we're concerned, it's much more subtle. And this many a conscientious person will identify with, that subtle assaults, that even if they're not going to, you know, you're not really going to stop reconsidering the yarmulke, but it's enough for right now. A mincha, he took the air out of a little bit, or some enthusiasm that could have been now, he hit you with, Chazal really have a handle on it. Maybe they didn't. Now, it's not really, you're not getting into a whole philosophical reopening of the subject, but enough to take out some of your energy. And for him, that's already a victory. So, we'll go through the Chavis HaVani. I'm going to go through it outside, just touching on things without necessarily reading all of them inside. But the Maisa were in Shah Yuchud HaMaisa Perekei. We'll kind of half read, half speak outside. One thing that the Yetzer will try to hit you with to shake your conviction. They'll try to hit you with the following. There isn't really life after death. All these things are truths that we maintain, but they always require of us to work against the very tangible, superficial here and now, right? So when you don't have koyach or when you're a bit down, there's all kinds of different things that he can start hitting you with. Come on, when you're dead, you're dead. And that's it. Yishinim sedes bevsed gufcha. Your soul goes with the body. She'ein la mitzias. It doesn't really have an existence afterwards. Now, as we said before, we realize that these are just means of trying to get us to let go of our efforts, right? Or when the Yetzer Hara is trying to get you to do something, it's enough to provide you with a moment of weakness to allow you to succumb to whatever it is the Yetzer Hara is trying to tempt you with. So you want to remind yourself, and the truth is that it's for this reason that in general, the truths, the great truths that we have are not things that we should just consider as we know them and now that's it. The basics have to be reiterated. Olam Haba is something that we want to be constantly reiterating to ourselves. That's one of the main themes of Shabbos. One of the main themes of Shabbos is the very simple, without getting sophisticated, something Kedai to talk about at home, the very simple, basic knowledge that there is an Olam Haba. There is an Olam Haba. And no, you are not your body. You're not your body. You're something much more than your body. And the way it might hit also is, so what do I care about my neshama? I'll be okay. I'll be dead. What do I care about my neshama? Or whatever it is. I'm not going to be the one enjoying it anyways. So you have to ask yourself, who are you? Who are you? So are you, well, you know, I'm talking now. So who's talking? Is it my mouth? Who are you? So we'll just put it like this. We'll just put it like this. I hope this doesn't really start sounding philosophical, but the conscious self, meaning who loves your child? Which part of you? It's not your mouth, not your stomach. It's not your heart, right? What's the heart? The heart is a machine that pumps blood. Right? Your heart doesn't love you, kids. Your heart pumps blood. It's all done. So whoever it is that loves the kids, okay, whoever it is that enjoys your successes, not whoever it is that enjoys the challenge, but whoever it is that enjoys your successes, right? When you reached a certain goal, whoever enjoys that, that is the same one that's going to enjoy Olam Haba. That's you. That's you. If we want to get a little bit esoteric here, I'll say this even though I don't understand it entirely, but this is how I heard it said by a Rebbe of mine, that there's nefesh, ruach, and neshama, right? You have the goof. The goof, we all understand, is not you, right? And there's nefesh, ruach, and neshama, which is already, but in a basic way, what that is nefesh is the very basic level of life. The nefesh is what just wants good physical times, right? The neshama wants pure ruchnius. It's all it wants, it's all it interests in. The ruach is in between. And your experience of life is the ruach, meaning what's experiencing you as in the complex being that you are, sometimes drawn to good, sometimes drawn to bad. What's actually experiencing that? That's the ruach. And the ruach has both the nefesh and the neshama talking into its ear. And it decides, it's up to the ruach to decide whether it wants to connect to the fainter call of the neshama or to the more base call and tangible call of the nefesh. But that's the ruach. The you that has that sense of conscience, right? Of not being able to stomach. Again, you can't identify any part of your body that can't stomach just being a louse, right? Just being a straightforward, hurting somebody and seeing them hurt and being okay with that. Which part of you can't stomach that? I know we're using the word stomach, but it's the ruach, right? It's the ruach. That's what it is. So you have to realize, you're already understanding that no, there, what you're experiencing as life is not your body. And that very being will continue to enjoy, to not enjoy, to hurt, to not to hurt, after we shed that shell called the body, just in a much more intense way. Just in a much more intense way. So yeah, realize that no, it's not someone else. Rabbi Shmuel Santo would stress, it's not someone else. It's you, the you that you know, not also a different you. It's the you that you know that will actually move on and continue to exist afterwards. So that's one attack. Is there really anything afterwards? Okay. Now, I'm going to skip a little bit here because he goes through how he'll try to hit you with all the different philosophical aspects of Achdus Hashem, which if you didn't learn Shara Yichud, we're not really on that wavelength. But another area that he'll hit you with, this is also, once again, something that in a broad way we understand is not true, but he could hit us with it in a subtle way, is does Hashem really care? Does Hashem really care? Now, once again, we hear that question, we'll bristle. We know that, of course, he certainly does. But again, on that subtle level, when something is difficult and you're not in the mood and you're down or whatever it is, and he comes and says, really make a difference to Hashem? And like we said before, it's not going to get us to revamp the whole system, but it could be enough to get us to go easy on some mitzvah, or whatever it is. And as far as we're concerned, that's what the Eitz Hara is out for. He's not trying to get your yarmulke off your head. He knows to choose his battles also. Another area that'll hit you in. Okay, he talks about Nevuah and Nevi'im. So it might be more relevant to us is also one. The next one, Kasha Yisya'ish Min Chabayin Yinazeh, if he gives up on these other things, he'll hit you with the Kabbalah of Chazal, with the Rabbanot, with Chazal's interpretations of the Torah. And you'll be so often, Is it all really true? Maybe the Torah is just meant to be understood straightforward, as is, simplistic. Maybe they're right when they say that the Torah Shebaal Peh is just butchering what the Torah really is in its pristine form. Perhaps what the Seichel dictates and what Scripture dictates is Shneim Emes. It's all true. That's not real, and we aren't really obligated in it. But if you really think about it, you'll see that no, the Seichel and the Torah cannot make out a real system without the Kabbalah of Chazal. Neither of them can really work things out properly without the Kabbalah of Chazal. So I'm not sure. It could be here also. There could be these subtle assaults on. Again, he's talking to the real Apikoros, but he could also be talking to the more subtle Apikoros in the frum conscientious Jew with the right hashkafas. The one that will every so often say, really, in a very, again, not in a revamping kind of way, but in a on the spot, for the moment kind of way. The same way you could do with the Metzias of Hashem itself. Now he says, so it's again about, you know, reinforcing that conviction. I'm not going to spend much time on this. We saw this at length in Shavuot Sadekim. He talks about how Seichel certainly cannot work out a fully rounded system of serving Hashem. But also the Torah not. If we would only work with what it says in the Torah and try to live by it, so in a general way, it sounds like it can work and like it's faith to believe in Chazal. When you really get down to it, the Guzari goes on about this more at length, shows how you cannot make a working system out of the Torah itself. And he also pokes fun at the Karaim, the Karaites, who claim that they do, but he says, if so, how do they know where to do Mila? Like so many things that they just operate because they operate with Chazal. Exactly. That's the point that Guzari makes. Oh, that's mamish for the point that he makes. He says, so what they do, they came up with their own Pirushim, and now you believe in someone named Anan, who was one of their main guys. Oh, that's it. That's right. Even more than that, right? He says, it's not just a question of who to believe. So you yourself will come up with different interpretations in different days. Right. That's right. That's right.
You know, they, you know, you have
an informed
person, so they will say, you know, we just have an alternative. You know, they're dropping
Tereshim Ksav also. The Torah, let's say, is sometimes only binding a document, and it's open to interpretation.
No, but
that's not what they're saying. They have
a book.
It was
a reform response.
The introduction,
American
reform response.
Shalos and Chumas of the reform.
But in the introduction, they said, yeah, you can analyze all things, but in the end, you can make your own decision. Like, in the beginning, the Mavaka, all the work that they did afterwards, like, it didn't make any sense.
Putting it in there for the intellectual exercise. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So, okay. So, what you're saying really is already a whole different story, right? Coming and saying, Tereshim Miksav itself was meant to be up to the person to decide. Hashem was kind of kidding when he laid down things down in a very cut and dried kind of way. He was kidding. But just talking about the Kabbalah, which was what they were really contending with in earlier times, just a couple of basic examples of Arla. Arla. What is it? Maybe it's the earlobe. Maybe it's the skin of the elbow. No indication. It's a drash of Chazal. You give me this Kabbalah of Chazal. Vayulatay tovayz ben einecho. Does anybody have anything else besides the black squares? It says they use the black squares also, right? Arba minim, right? All these things, that's also why it's so amazing. Because Ari comes and says a statement that, you know, seems surprising. He says, we find that when it comes to our Kabbalah, there's no machlokes about it. Everything is clear. So no machlokes? Have you opened up one daf of Gemara? Open one daf of Gemara, you have three machlokes in there, right? One amud, right? But this is the point. The point is, in terms of the very basic understanding of what the mitzvahs are, Adarabba, looking at how much machlokes there is in Shas Bavli, there's no two shitas as to what Arla is. The Torah doesn't say it clearly. There's no two shitas as to what it is. You only see how the machlokes begin past a certain level. That's what's so astounding, if you're really misbinding in it. No two shitas as to what the Arba Minim are. No two shitas as to Taitofais, right? So many of these things, even in Derabbanans, the basic Derabbanans, there's no machlokes about it. It gets into the protim of the Derabbanans. They start with machlokes about it. What's that? They try to figure out what it is in order to find the implications of the problem. But there's no machlokes as to what it is. What's that? Oh. Okay, there you go. But that fruit. That's true. But at the end of the day, no, there are no shittas that hold those to be the ones. Okay. Yeah. Entertain the question in order to see how the mice do we arrive at the conclusion. Okay, we'll stop here.